Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things podcast. We're recording this on what is the last day of summer for 2021.
See you, summer. It's been real.
My name is Dave. This is my partner, Darren. And what you're about to hear is the top five things that happened on our morning show. You can hear it on Planet 93.9.
The fine sponsor of the podcast is Nature's Treatment of Illinois, Tech Drive in Milan and West Main Street in Galesburg. Both locations now open 7 days a week. You can sign up for the newsletter and connect with Nature's Treatment on Twitter and also Instagram.
Here's number one.
Number one.
There's a new Batman comic that takes place inside Batman's bathroom. Because, I mean...
This is like Pitbull's New Year's Revolution.
Well, this isn't done accidentally. This isn't like Pitbull.
Oh, I think that was intentional, too.
I think y'all having a good time out there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ain't nobody
like it, don't stop the party. Yeah, and we're going to open the show with that song.
Batman in the new Batman Wayne Family Adventures webtoon. Someone uses Batman's toilet.
I would have to imagine that there is a bat pole that allows you to land right on the toilet. Coming in hot. I need to get there quick.
So if you pull back Shakespeare's head, you go to the Batcave.
Yeah.
But if you pull back, what, Al Roker's head, you go to the bathroom? How does that work?
Yeah, the pole lands you right in front, right on the toilet.
This is...
The bat pole is just in front of the toilet.
Only to be used in emergencies.
Yes.
I gotta get to the bat toilet.
Can I use your bat toilet? I guess. Is it an emergency? Yes, it's an emergency. You're about to see what kind of emergency.
Someone manages in the comic to find Batman's secret safe house. I guess he has safe houses all over Gotham City where he keeps his technology, you know, so like...
Trap house?
I guess, no, not a trap house. It's a safe house. Because think about it, you can only keep so much stuff on your utility belt, right?
Right, yes.
So it would probably be a good idea to have different places all over Gotham City where you keep your stuff.
But then the problem is, oh, I forgot, I did move it. I thought it was there. I thought it was in this safe house.
Yeah.
But the last time I used it... I left it at the other safe house.
You're right. That's a lot to keep track of. Yeah. Like if you think you have your shark repellent on 3rd Street.
But you moved it the last time. Now, remember you used it and you left it over there on Broadway?
Yeah. I would have a hard time remembering where all my bat stuff
was. Darn it.
Was.
You got to replace it.
Or just keep like everything stocked with everything.
Yes.
I suppose you could do that if you're Bruce Wayne. You got a lot.
But whenever you use it, return it. How many times do I have to tell you?
So someone at some point uses Batman's bathroom.
To the bat toilet. To the bat John.
The issue ends with an annoyed Batman picking up his gadgets off the floor like a dad picking up the toys of 5-year-old scattered around the living room. I gotta pick up this mess now too.
Who's playing with toys in the toilet?
Well, they're, you know, does he have like bat TP?
It's like
Does Batman have like some sort of
ill-fated Aerosmith album?
Quick, Robin, like the Bat Match. Wayne Family Adventures is a webtoon that has racked up more than 500,000 subscribers, which is a much bigger number than the total number of Batman comics sold in comic shops. More people are going online to read Batman and who's using Batman's toilet than actual Batman comic books.
Is that how the season opens? Is by trying to hook you with the fact that someone uses Batman's toilet?
In this episode, in this edition, finally, you'll find out who's using Batman's toilet. I don't think the person who's using the toilet is supposed to. I think it's like a villain.
The fact that I found robin eggs in my toilet leads me to believe I know who the culprit is. Robin egg blue. There's just robin egg blue all over the toilet seats.
Oh, no.
It's like, oh, brother.
No. No. It's not.
Butt makeup?
Well, if you're interested, that's something you can check out. If you've always wondered. I mean, you have to imagine it's nice because he's a billionaire, this guy. Probably has like some cool gadgets.
How did Batman
on it.
Make his money?
His parents were rich.
And what did they do?
They died and they left him all their money.
But what did they do?
What did like Bruce Wayne's dad do to make all the money?
Yeah.
I don't know. Did they ever say? Like how did Bruce Wayne's dad make all the money? Thomas Wayne. How did he make his fortune? He was a gifted surgeon.
Still.
That seems like a lot of money for a surgeon.
Yeah, that's still. I mean, I know surgeons make good money, but not that kind of.
Not that kind of money.
No.
Gifted.
Unless he invented something like the scalpel.
Oh, okay. Wait a minute. Patrick Wayne is. Okay, so wait a minute. The surgeon was Batman's grandfather? No. Thomas Wayne is the father of Bruce Wayne, right? And then Patrick Wayne had a family fortune. So granddad had all the money.
Okay.
I don't know what granddad did. I mean, you got a butler. You got Alfred Pennyworth.
Bootlegger.
Yeah. I don't know. How did the Wayne family make all their money? That's a great question. If any of you Bat fans could help us out on the text line, 470.
Yeah, put the signal up in the sky.
23 for Nacho.
Looking for Bat fans. And why is it that Robin wears butt makeup?
Well, in the tights, you know.
Yeah, well, I guess it
not
could
a
be.
Not a lot left to the imagination.
Nah, it chafes.
Yeah. I don't know if it's.
It's a dual purpose.
You're right. It's not really a cosmetic thing more than a functional one. Because you can't have those things riding up when you're out there fighting crime.
Cut you right in a crotch.
Don't want that. Two. This past weekend on the 17th and 18th, that will be what, Friday and Saturday?
Mm-hmm.
They had a two-day tater tot festival in Ontario, Oregon, which purports to be the birthplace of the tater tot. Tater tots born there.
Were tri-taters involved?
Explain to me what a tri-tater is.
A tri-tater is going to look like your potato cake.
But it's like it looks like a thing that you would fold up to play football with during detention.
Yes, that's what it looks like.
The Tater Tot Festival, a cooking competition wherein five finalists got to sell their unique tater tot creations to attendees at the festival, who then decided which one would win the title of best tater tot cook. If you paid your $5 to get in, you got a sample platter of all five tater tot dishes.
Only five?
Well, you're only paying $5.
I wonder if there's a Miss Tater Tot.
Here she is. She's Miss Tater Tot. Look at her in all her eyes.
Look at her, but not a lot.
The finalists were the Steak Bomb Tot Waffles, Jalapeno Popper Tot Casserole,
sure,
Tachos, Twice Baked Tot Cups, Breakfast Biscuits, and Ranch Tots.
Mm-hmm.
There was a Carnival Boardwalk, a fun place to eat your tater tots. The Tater Tot Festival was complete with a Carnival Boardwalk full of games. Test your skills and win prizes. Drinks were available. And there was live music as well.
And Miss Tater Tot.
Don't
look at her, but not a lot.
There was also a Tater Tot eating contest. Oh, this is a bad
idea.
Oh, man,
can you imagine how many of those Joey Chestnut could eat?
In front of an audience.
God, he could eat 2,000 or 3,000 of them.
Do you like eating tater tots? Have you ever wondered how many you could eat on stage in front of an audience in 2 minutes with first place on the line?
You could probably eat like a couple thousand.
In 2 minutes?
He could.
You think?
Something ridiculous.
I made tater tots last night, and let me tell you where I went wrong. I had half a bag of regular size tots, and then I had a new bag of the mini tots. So I figure here's what I'll do. I'll finish off the big tots,
yeah,
and I'll cook those for a time.
Yeah.
They'll take them out, and they'll put the mini tots on because the mini tots require less time.
Sure.
As you might imagine.
Yeah.
Due to their smaller size. Didn't work out at all. The mini tots came out fine, but those big tots suffered from having to share space.
Why didn't you put the regular tots in for a period of time and then take it out and add?
That's what I did.
Okay, and then you put them all back in the oven.
That's what I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, it should have worked out.
It should have.
Sonic is always
I'm here to tell you it didn't.
Sonic is always doing stuff with tater tots.
Like what?
Well,
like,
they'll do different recipes.
I'll be honest with you. It's never occurred to me to do anything with tater tots other than put salt on them. Maybe a little bit of ketchup.
You've never had like a tater tot casserole?
I don't know that I have.
Mm, yeah. You can incorporate those.
The reason that we have tater tots in the first place is they had all this potato scraps left over.
Sure, that makes sense.
Tater tots are a result of French fries being made.
Yep.
And then the people at Orido were like, well, we got all this leftover stuff. Why not use it?
Sure.
So they invented the people at Orida. If it says Orida, then it's Orida. They launched tater tots. And
did you say Flo-Rida?
No, I said if it's Orida, then it's Orida. That was their slogan.
Why doesn't Flo-Rida have his own tater tots?
That's, well, because it would probably be some sort of copyright issue.
You can get around
Flo-Rida's that. Flo-Rida's tater tots?
Yeah.
That only would make sense if you were to think about Orida.
Like and Flo-Rida.
The people at the Heinz Corporation bought Orida back in 1965 for $30 million.
Nice.
Based on the strength of tater tots. So someone had the idea in the 50s, let's not just throw these potato scraps away. Let's make them into something else.
Sure.
And a couple of years later, they're getting a check from the Heinz ketchup people for $30 million.
You would think that some of that leftover scrap and everything would have been turned into just instant mashed potatoes.
Heinz merged with Kraft Foods in 2015, and the Orida tater tots remained one of the company's most lucrative brands. They are a staple from school lunches to late-night snack binges. Different varieties of tater tots. You got your original, your onion, mini,
those are good.
Extra crispy.
I don't know that I've seen the mini.
They're just a smaller version.
Aren't they just going to burn?
No, you don't put them in for as long. No, they're delightful.
I mean, how much more mini does a tater tot need to be? Tater tot itself is mini.
Well, I will put it to you this way, Darren. Think of it in terms of marshmallows. You got your big marshmallows.
They're that small? They're like the Swiss Miss?
No. What I'm saying is it makes sense when you're in the middle of it.
I don't know.
When you're in the tater tot weeds, as we say in the business, it all makes sense.
Are there a bunch of people out there with tiny little mouths?
Well, I could see. I'm not sure why the minis were purchased, why those were in our freezer at all.
I don't know that I've ever seen them.
Yeah, might have been all that was available. But the...
Are you saying you're hooked on the minis now?
I didn't. Well, they were the only ones that we were able to eat.
What'd you do with the other ones?
Throw them away. They were all mushy. Can't have that.
Why didn't you just put them back in the oven?
I did put them back in the oven. Couldn't save them. Believe me, I made every attempt.
That's strange.
By the way, the name Tater Tot was the result of a contest that they did. They couldn't figure out what to call them. Tater Tots, it just makes all the sense in the world. The potato scrap side dish.
It's not the name we wanted to go with. Believe it. A little more racy.
Yeah, the winning entry came from a housewife, Clara Leigh Orton.
Isn't that always the case?
Who combined the word tater and tot, like it's a baby potato. And that was just they had this thing and they made it and they sold it, but they didn't know what to call it. And finally, this woman came up with the idea.
We call them a tot, but it's really a toddler is...
It's a baby, right?
I want to be a potato cake.
They say that you're cooking them wrong, by the way.
Mm.
That everyone, if you follow the instructions on the packaging for tater tots, which
wrong.
I did,
yeah.
you're doing yourself a major disservice.
Yes.
The potato nuggets, if you use the recommended time that they include on the package instruction.
I find that a lot of...
you're heating them, yeah.
A lot of directions are wrong.
I wonder why that is.
Yeah, I don't either. It's like, this is how long you need to cook this. Well, if I cook it that long, it's just going to be raw.
It says here that if you follow the instructions they give you on the bag using the recommended time included on the package instruction, it may heat the tater tots up enough to render them edible, but it is hardly enough for them to reach their full crispy, crusted, creamy, centered potential.
Yeah, a lot of directions on food isn't correct.
It says don't go by time, go by looks.
Yes.
When it has a deep golden brown color.
Golden country.
And the
your tots are so red.
The crust looks exceptionally crispy. 25 to 35 minutes just isn't enough.
No.
They say the ideal amount of time is 60 minutes in the oven. Maybe that's what I did wrong. 60 minutes. The additional cooking time makes the most delicious difference in both the texture and taste of a tater tot. Causes them to shrink and dry out a little, which makes them even crispier on the outside, but the potatoy center is more dense and creamy. All right. Now I know what I did wrong. I followed the directions.
Don't follow the directions.
Number three.
Samuel Adams has a new beer that is so strong, it's illegal in 28 states.
Now that's doing it right.
The 12th batch of Utopias beer. It's a barrel-aged beer that's released every 2 years. Sam Adams says here, it's a spirited blend of multiple batches of our extreme beers. This particular batch, finished with 2,000 pounds of cherries, offers subtle notes of honeyed apricot and caramel.
Should be able to taste the cherries.
Well, you would think.
Yeah.
As a note. It's illegal in 28 states because of its alcohol by volume, which is at, Darren, 28%.
For a beer.
Tequila and rum and vodka have a 40% ABV. This beer has an ABV of 28. Most of the beers you get at a bowl game have an ABV of like 5. 28 states have laws on the books that go all the way back to Prohibition that cap the alcohol by volume at 5%. Thank God we don't live in one of those states. Although the higher ABV stuff, I'll say this, I love it.
I love it.
Oh, love it. But
you're done.
Well, it's like you have one beer for an hour and you just take your time with it. You're not pounding a higher octane beer at a tailgate party, right?
Now, does it mention what states you can get it?
Oh, well, I can tell you the states that you can't.
Okay.
You can get it in, well, let me check my math here, Sandy. What is that? 22 states.
Uh-huh.
And we live in Iowa and Illinois. If you're listening to us in Iowa and Illinois, you can get beer that's got an ABV higher than 5.
Okay.
Jim Koch is the founder and brewer of Sam Adams. He says of this year's beer, we pioneered the barrel aging and blending process of Utopias almost 30 years ago and continue that time-honored tradition today. If you want to get your hand on a bottle of this beer, by the way, one bottle, suggested retail price, $240.
Pass.
Yeah, that's a little bit more than I'm willing to spend. I was at Topping Goliath, this is about a year and a half ago, and we were there when they were just happening to have one of their special releases. I want to say it was SR71. And the deal was, you could buy one bottle of the beer.
Uh-huh.
It was $100
yeah.
for a single, I think it was a 22-ounce bottle. It was $100, and
you had to drink it there?
You had to drink it there.
Yeah.
You couldn't take the bottle out of the brewery.
Right.
Because they didn't want you taking the bottle and then selling it for $300, $400, $500. There's this market where, like, if you were to get your hands on this for $240, you could easily sell it for $500.
Now, wouldn't the good people at Brewed cough up that kind of money for you to have that beer?
No.
Why not?
That's too much. No.
There's production values.
I don't know that we have that kind of budget. $240, we could go stay somewhere at a hotel and do like three or four shows for that kind of money.
Or I guess that's a decent amount of gasoline.
Yeah, no, I don't. I wouldn't
suggest it though.
No, I don't know that.
Or put me in contact with the people that I could suggest.
I don't think I would feel good drinking a beer that costs $240. I don't think I could enjoy it. I think I would get so wrapped up in the expense.
Well, you'd enjoy it, but you wouldn't enjoy it enough.
Well, there's that.
So you'd be fine with it. Yeah. It's like, okay, this is good, but shouldn't it be doing something?
I got a bunch of barrel-aged stuff that I have in my beer fridge, and it's just sitting there waiting for an occasion.
What kind of occasion?
I don't know. Something special has to happen. I'm not just going to crack open my barrel-aged stuff just because it's Tuesday night.
That's kind of dangerous.
What do you mean?
Waiting around for something special to happen?
Well,
that could be.
I don't know. Like if there was some exceptionally good news.
That's what you're waiting for?
Every once in a while, Darren, good things happen. And okay. I'm prepared for them.
Maybe okay things happen. Good things happen.
There are reasons to celebrate every once in a while.
Yeah.
I haven't had one in quite some
Friday
time.
Friday afternoon.
Oh. Although now you got me thinking about it. Maybe I do crack just, open something
yeah,
this
crack
weekend.
Crack them open. Don't wait.
Yeah. You might be right.
You made it to the weekend. That's enough.
By the way, college students, they've crunched the numbers. Do you think they drank more or less beer during the pandemic?
More.
I would think more, too. We're both wrong, though. Mm. College students drank considerably less.
Probably the same.
They drank considerably less, according to this study, during the pandemic.
Hmm. Well, because they weren't going out?
Well, that's probably a big part of it. And also, it says they used weed and psychedelics at record highs.
Mm-hmm.
This new study, just published by the National Institute of Drug Abuse, found that half of U.S. college-age students between the ages of 19 and 60...
That's right.
What's your major?
It's great to be back on campus.
I'm also matriculating. Half of college-age students between the ages of 19 and 60 admitted to using weed in 2020. Duh. Were they using weed to escape the pandemic? The answer is yes. 44% of the surveyed college students said they used weed last year, compared to 38% in 2015. Maybe also because it's legal in more places.
Uh-huh.
Weed was the substance of choice, and alcohol use among college students dropped from 62% in 2019 to 56%. Binge drinking also down over the course of the pandemic. It's not completely gone.
I do.
And psychedelic drug use amongst college students. In 2019, 5% of college kids were using psychedelic drugs. That number now is 9%. And young adults who are not going to college are also using hallucinogenics. That number went from 8% to 10%. So college kids laying off the booze and finding comfort in the arms of dirty marijuana.
I would imagine that there are some college kids that only drink when they go out.
Right.
You know, so if there's no going out.
Yeah, but they found ways to go out. Trust me, they were still having good times.
Oh no, my eyes are turning bloodshot. I'm going on a trip. I look like I'm doped out of my gourd. That's a side effect of the marijuana poisoning.
That's right, true. The poisoning.
Let me tell you this. If somebody offers you a roach to smoke, even one puff, you say no thanks. You don't fly that way.
Mm.
And instead, take up a hobby like, putting a ship in a bottle or...
Card shuffling.
Shuffling cards.
You can get really good at it.
Yes!
Number four.
There's this subreddit where people wonder if they're in the wrong. And usually when we do this, I like to share three quick stories. This is a long one.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to just
So we're just going to knock this one out?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can't wait to share this one with you.
Okay.
This is someone who says they are at a breaking point because their husband speaks a made-up language.
Great. Great.
This just reading this has driven me to the point of madness. Yeah. I can't imagine living with this fellow.
Yeah.
Okay,
so we've already established there's nothing wrong with this person.
I could just go ahead and start by saying, I don't think you're in the wrong, but let me share the story and see what you think, all right?
Sure.
Am I being a jerk for being at the breaking point with my husband's made-up language? My husband has always been a bit goofy, giving his own names to things and doing impressions. About 18 months ago, this started to increase a bit. It's now a constant presence in our lives, and I'm finding it difficult to live with.
He names things other things.
Examples. He has his own name for most retail outlets. He calls Walgreens, Eat Your Greens. He calls Barnes & Noble, Sharts and Gobbles. He has about 30 to 40 everyday words that he insists on using in place of normal ones.
Uh-huh.
For example, instead of saying yes, he says scuppers and then has a rising whistle at the end. Scuppers. If he says no, it's bing with a descending whistle. And instead of good night, he says bagayaya. He's constantly doing weird impersonations. Not like celebrities or characters, but a single noise that's a made-up sound or something childish like a fart from a kid's TV show. He speaks random words like garbage or douchebag while burping or farting. He's made up names for our friends, which he uses, even under his breath when we're out with them. Our friends Pam and Will he calls Pig and Wig. I've just about had enough.
Yeah, I could see that.
We got into bed the other night, and I said goodnight, and he said, bagayaya, in a high-pitched voice that he always does it in. Bagayaya! He snapped and asked why he couldn't speak to me normally.
Uh-huh.
And he just laughed and came right up close to my face and did it again. Bagayaya!
Oh, God.
His whistling is constant. He speaks to our kid in this stupid language, and I'm worried it's going to confuse normal language development because he changes the words so often. Our toddler could be about to hurt themselves, and instead of saying no or come here, he'll make up some ridiculous made-up word or sound and then get annoyed when our kid doesn't know what he wants. He's normal in all other respects. He works in finance and is totally professional around his colleagues, but he's different at home. I told him it needs to stop. I don't mind it occasionally or for fun, but it's all the time, and it's wearing me down. He got upset and said I couldn't take a joke and that I'm not fun anymore. It's true, I've become more irritable and noise-averse since we had kids, but I'm so worn out and over it, I just want him to relate to me like an adult. So am I the jerk here?
What did someone say? What was the professional advice?
Well, people wonder if maybe there's something wrong with him.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of questions here that she answers. People had a lot of questions about this because that's not normal. Yeah. Just start talking in gibberish. I'll answer some of the more frequent questions I've received here. One, I do not believe that he displays any symptoms of Tourette's, autism, neurological disorders, and he hasn't ever done despite this. He is physically well by all measures. He is for sure not having a stroke or a significant physical event. Yes, I can see how this could be a reaction to stress.
Uh-huh.
For those asking why I married him, he did not do this. Not to this extent before we had kids. Occasionally, yes, with the occasional name or words, but not this regularly. He's amazing in many ways, but this one thing is now too much for me. I don't feel it's right to discount him or throw out the whole marriage because of it, but it does need to change, and he will not go to therapy. We've discussed it calmly, but he doesn't take me seriously. He sees it as funny or just a joke. And yes, I can be occasionally funny. I'm not trying to spoil his fun, but I need an adult partner at times and for him to stop when this is not appropriate. So there are people going, hey, why aren't you fun? How come you wouldn't be fun to him?
He just got closer to my face.
Bugger yaya! Why can't I whistle this morning?
It's fall.
That's what it is.
This is not good. This is not good whistling weather.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I don't know, man. I mean, I wouldn't put up with this. They just start talking in gibberish for no reason. It's one thing to have like a private, you know, joke, or if you call something else, yeah, a couple of words. But like 40 to 50 everyday words? Oh, I don't know. I don't know how you'd put up with this. What do you think? Is she being a jerk?
I'd set a trap. Like a bear trap. You think that's funny?
And then he's calling out for help and nobody knows what he wants. You're
right.
That'll teach you. Use your words.
Use your words, and I'll let you out of the bear trap. Yeah, that is kind of rough on your ankle, isn't it? Isn't it?
It's unusual to call a store by a different name for as a joke, right? Calling Walgreens "Eat Your Greens." I mean, I don't get that, but you've done that, right?
Like, I suppose, yeah.
I mean, like there are people who call Walmart "Wally World." That comes to mind. That's not. You know.
Turnstile could be like high guy style.
You got it.
You got it.
A little of this would go a long way.
Yes.
But you don't say yes or no or good night. You make up your own words and just constantly whistling. And yeah, I wouldn't be able to put up with this. That would be a deal breaker.
Yeah, you might have to poison him.
Here's somebody who says, my son-in-law, a truck driver, and my daughter call Tractor Supply Tractor Trailer. I think it's normal to a degree to twist names around like that in fun.
But that's not what he's doing.
Yeah, that's not what he's doing. Here's one that says, my dad calls Best Buy Worst Buy.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have done that. They kind of...
Sweet Eileen's got a lot of names for things.
That's true. Yeah, she calls things...
She calls things...
Different names.
Yeah, she does a lot of that.
Yeah. But Sweet Eileen doesn't whistle or speak gibberish, right?
We don't know that.
We do know that. We've had her on enough that she doesn't speak gibberish. But yeah, I could see...
Sweet Eileen's got a lot of names for things.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. She's got her own world view, though. That's different than just constantly whistling like you're some sort of maniac. This guy sounds like a bona fide maniac. And I'm not a licensed health professional.
No, you're not.
I shouldn't be making a diagnosis for somebody's mental state, but... You sound like a lunatic if you're whistling and you don't say yes or no, but you say bing and scuppers with different whistle sounds to indicate yes or no. He constantly does weird sound impersonations, not like celebrities or characters, but a single noise that's a made-up sound or something childish like a fart from a children's TV show. And he's not doing this at work. She's certain of that.
So he can control it.
Right, because if you did this at work, you wouldn't be at work anymore.
No, you'd be in HR.
All the time. Well, I think at some point you need to make it very clear that he either knocks it off or he can go make noises somewhere else. This is a lot. Somebody says, this guy sounds mean. He calls his friends pig and wig behind their back. I'm willing.
No,
to
not bend. Behind his back, no, under his breath.
Under his breath.
Hello, pig. Hello, wig.
What'd you say? Nothing. Scuppers. Bugga yaga.
Five.
Number five.
The global hot dog market is expected to grow between now and 2025. By $13 billion.
And this is after the news comes out that hot dogs are killers.
It's like we can't get enough of it.
Uh-huh. It's like we have a death wish.
Are people going to hot dogs now because they want out?
They're attempting to kill themselves with hot dogs.
The hot dog and sausage market. They're saying that, crunching the numbers, it'll be up $13 billion in the next 4 years. Now, are we telling you invest all your money in hot dogs? We're not.
Yes.
Although I will be. The study identifies the impact of urbanization as one of the prime reasons driving the hot dog market to grow in the next couple of years. Analyst presents a detailed picture of the market by the way of study, synthesis, and summation of data from multiple sources by an analysis of key parameters. Our report on hot dogs and sausages covers the following areas: hot dogs and sausages market sizing, hot dogs and sausages market forecast, hot dogs and sausages market industry analysis. It's a pretty detailed report, but believe you me, hot dogs have never been bigger.
I wonder if we've been pronouncing that wrong the whole time. Oscar Mayer.
No, that's how you pronounce it.
Sure, it sure looks like it's Oscar Mayer.
No, that's not how it's pronounced.
John Mayer? Oscar Mayer? I'm just saying.
Maybe John Mayer's wrong.
I think John Mayer's got it right. I think maybe we've been saying it wrong the whole time.
We haven't. We've been saying it the way we've been trained to say it by the people at Oscar Mayer. Mayer.
See, you had it. You had it right the first time.
You ruined it for me. You ever had a Tijuana hot dog?
Excuse me?
A Tijuana hot dog. This isn't something you have to go look up on Urban Dictionary.
Well,
it's exactly what it sounds
like. The mid-80s were very heady times.
Yeah. It's a Tijuana hot dog.
No, I've never been to Tijuana.
Well, you know, I don't think you have to travel to Tijuana to have a Tijuana hot dog. You've had, like...
What is this, Mexico?
You've had foods that are in the style without going to that part of the world.
What is a Tijuana hot dog?
Well, this to me sounds like it would be very up your alley.
Was it like and wrapped in bacon or something?
It is wrapped in bacon.
Yeah, what is it? That's called something else.
The special ingredient that makes it a Tijuana hot dog is bacon. However, this is what they do. And these things are now, Tijuana hot dogs are showing up all over the country. They're big, I guess, in San Francisco and L.A., and they're starting to catch on the East Coast. The special ingredient, what makes it a Tijuana hot dog, is bacon. The wiener is wrapped in delicious slabs of bacon before you put it on the bun and served.
Mm-hmm.
The hot dogs are cooked, wrapped in bacon, and then deep fried.
Yeah.
And then you top it, Darren, with fried onions and mayonnaise.
Yeah, I think that's got another name to it, too, besides Tijuana hot dog.
Really?
Yeah.
What are you thinking of?
Oh, God, what is it?
You're not thinking of a Sonora hot dog, because that's bacon-wrapped.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking of.
That has green chili sauce, diced tomato, pinto beans, mustard, and mayonnaise.
Okay, that's what
There's a lot more going on. All right. On a Sonoran hot dog.
That's what I was thinking of.
Those are from the Mexican state of Sonora. Sonora's not where Tijuana is. Tijuana is in Baja, Mexico. Different states. They're similar. They're cousins. Sonoran hot dogs are more popular in, like, Arizona.
Okay.
Because they border the state of Sonora. Arizona and Sonora border each other. So if you're in the Southwest, you're more likely to get a Sonoran hot dog where it's wrapped in bacon. Phoenix, it's big in Phoenix, apparently, the Sonoran hot dog. But the Tijuana hot dog, it's just deep fried and you put the
onions.
Yeah, and the Tijuana hot dog is deep fried. I don't think the Sonoran hot dog is. I think a Sonoran hot dog is just a hot dog wrapped in bacon with all the other condiments on it. The deep frying is what makes it a Tijuana, you see. So they're very different. Top hot dog in the United States.
Oscar Mayer.
The Sonoran hot dogs are said to be the best you can get in the United States. I'm intrigued by them. I wouldn't mind giving them a try, but
I thought you were off hot dogs.
No, I took a break. Hot dogs and I were on a break, but I can't stay mad at hot dogs. I've had some recently. The 10 best hot dogs in the United States of America, according to Travel Magazine. Number one is Wolfie's Hot Dogs in Chicago. Number two is Criff Dogs in New York. And then number three is a place in New Orleans called Dat Dog. You can get a hot dog made out of alligator sausage, crawfish sausage, or duck sausage. They also have brats that are infused with Guinness. I'm not mad at that. Boy.
Best hot dog I've ever had was Martino's in Milwaukee.
Where is Martino's?
I don't know. They had them at Summerfest.
Is it a type of hot dog?
Well, I had a Chicago dog, and it was just...
The best hot dog you've ever had was a Chicago dog you had in Milwaukee.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, Martino's Hot Dogs is Milwaukee's number one Chicago dog.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's a good Chicago dog.
Really?
Best Chicago dog is in Milwaukee.
Okay. It looks like they do pickles, like pickle chips rather than spears.
Did you say pickles?
Okay, just once I'd like to say pickles without Maury Amsterdam showing up on the show. Just once.
I could just get through it once.
If just once we could have a discussion about pickles.
A serious
without you
discussion.
Forcing your Maury Amsterdam impression on us.
Wait
That'd
a minute,
great.
You just started slipping into it there, too.
See what you're doing, see?
See what you're doing to me?
Oscar Mayer or Oscar Mayer? I don't know. Pickles? Music.
Exactly. That's all I'm saying.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That was a thrill-a-minute fun fest.
It's like a joyride.
Yeah, I enjoyed each and every minute of it, and I hope you did too. Thanks for downloading and subscribing and listening to Dave and Darren's Top 5 Things. Also, thanks to our sponsor, Nature's Treatment of Illinois.
Yeah, they have recreational waiting lists. Those are available where you can reserve your time. Again, Nature's Treatment offers a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower, vapes, edibles, quite a little bit. And if you'd like to reserve your time on the waiting list, just go to the website, ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
You stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked. Rock Island. Come on, and it just don't stop. East Moline, yeah, they keeping it hot.
Show's over. Good night. Good night, everybody.